Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network since 2009. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni, I'm the host. It's our 14th year on Heritage Radio Network. And, you know, more and more when I'm out drinking and I want something besides craft beer, I'm choosing quality hard dry cider. So we're going to talk about the upcoming Cider Week New York and some of the special events and some of the backstory on some of the organizers. So let's go around the room and you guys will introduce each other. Start with Scott and then Rachel.
Excellent. Hey, Jimmy, thanks so much for having us tonight. This is great. I'm Scott Ramsey and I'm the executive director of the New York Cider Association. And I'll let Rachel introduce herself.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks for having me. I'm Rachel Fryer. I am a Cider Week producer, events producer in general, and cheesemonger, cheesemonger at large.
Well, you guys, you both have been really important to me. You know, back in 2011, there was the first Cider Week New York, and that was back when it was run by folks at Glenwood. And it's come a long way. There's so many more producers and events. And, you know, so many things stopped or just paused during the pandemic back in 2020. And it seems like from that, Scott, you came back with a stronger, better Cider Week. So let's talk about, you know, the last few years and just kind of what you've done with Cider Week, just to get us all on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the story goes that I joined the New York Cider Association as the executive director on September 1st of 2020. March 1st of 2020. So if you can remember what time that was, it was nuts. The world kind of fell apart. So I walked in the door and everything changed. Rachel was a tremendous help that year. We just flipped all of Cider Week and went virtual, which was a crazy uphill task, but it was really awesome because we established a YouTube channel for the New York Cider Association. We created all of these really amazing virtual events with some of our presenting sponsors. Glenwood did a really awesome chef and cider pairing that was all virtual. So it was a really interesting time. And again, Rachel was just tremendously helpful in that. And everybody rallied and we did it virtually for that first year. By the end of the year, at that time, Cider Weeks were still regional events. So we had a Hudson Valley Week that happened first in June. We then had a Finger Lakes Week that I believe was in October. And then we had a New York City Week that was in November. So by the time we were into November, we were having some in-person stuff. We were having some in-person events, but still not fully robust. And then the next year, I think, Rachel, was it in 2020? One that we shifted to statewide. I can't remember if it was 21
yes,
or 22.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so, it's 21. Yeah.
Yeah. So after, you know, the cider industry has grown tremendously in New York State, as you know, Jimmy. You know, and so when Cider Week really started about 13 years ago, there were just a handful of cideries. And now there's over 125 licensed hard cider producers in the state. So the industry's grown tremendously. There's a lot more going on when we have Cider Weeks. So we wanted to kind of scale our efforts, and we decided that it was time to take Cider Week and go statewide with it. So we came up with this plan to have a Cider Week in May. So it's the first two Saturdays in May, and it's happening literally anywhere you go in New York State. You're never more than a few miles from some sort of really fun, interesting Cider Week celebration during Cider Week.
Rachel, what do you think about the evolution of Cider Week New York? Because I think it's great.
I mean, I think it's a natural evolution. You know, we had a little hiccup during the pandemic and the beginning that Scott mentioned with the virtual, which I think, in the beginning we panicked and we're like, how are we going to do this? But everyone did rally, as Scott mentions. And, you know, going virtual was really interesting because it encouraged certain, you know, cider producers that may have not embraced, you know, the power of virtual and social media and just online presentation to embrace it and to, you know, develop that for themselves and their brand. And, you know, the New York Cider YouTube channel is still alive and kicking. And that's a great, great, like, kind of library of, you know, cider content, which is available now. And I feel like, you know, it's a great point. Scott, you know, just said anywhere you go right now, we're celebrating Cider Week statewide. So really, you know, it feels like a natural progression. And I definitely think it makes a lot of sense.
Rachel, you know, I met you a few years before all this. And I know that you were an event producer. You were always involved with cheese and cider. Let's talk a little bit about your background, you know, and you know, some of the early jobs you had and just your career path, because you're really like one of the stars of New York cheese and cider.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, my career path, that's interesting. So back in the day, I actually came from music production and nightlife and DJing and producing, you know, music events. And, you know, I kind of wanted a little change in scenery. So I decided to go into the restaurant and hospitality business. Little did I know it was the same hours. I was still up till 3 a.m, you know, kicking out or cutting off like drunk people at the restaurants. But yeah, I've always had a passion for food and, you know, jumped into the restaurant hospitality industry and, you know, as a manager and general manager. And fast forward, I encountered one of my jobs, a cheese counter and cheesemonger at Choice Green back in the day. I was their general manager and just kind of fell in love with cheese and the stories behind cheese and met my first official cheesemonger. And, you know, I just spent most of my time at Choice Green behind the cheese counter, you know, tasting cheese with him. So fast forward, I decided to work in cheese. I went to Murray's Cheese Bar. They were Murray's Cheese in Manhattan was opening up a cheese restaurant. They were hiring restaurant professionals, and I basically begged them to hire me because I needed to learn about cheese, and I had all the restaurant experience.
every year they always had like a stellar lineup of events for Cider Week too, didn't they?
Exactly, exactly. So they had an amazing, you know, the Tia Keenan and Aristo, her husband, he was the main somm for Michael White's restaurants. He put together the initial beverage list for Murray's Cheese Bar. And I remember us training on like 70 wines and like they had cider on the menu. And for me, that was really the first time I encountered hard cider, which was like 2012. I may have had like a woodchuck before, but he had, you know, he had a French cider from Normandy. He had Isastegui, a Basque style cider. And he had, I want to say he had Foggy Ridge, potentially, wow, cider on there, if I remember correctly. And that was my first encounter with, oh my God, what are these different cider styles? It's so interesting. Fast forward, he moved on and other people came and ran that menu. But at some point I took over the beverage list. And that's when like New York Cider kind of like started rolling into the restaurant. And, you know, I met Steve Seelan from Southville Cider, Melissa Madden from Finger Lakes Cider House back in the day. I met Eleanor Leger from Eden, you know, all the characters. And just fell head over heels.
All the great producers too. Wow.
Yeah. And Cider Week was so great. You know, Jen Smith and getting to know the Glenwood folk and going to the Cider Weeks back in Astor Place at the day and started doing cheese events for the Cider Weeks. And really just, you know, cider and cheese became my thing. I love it so much. It pairs so well. And eventually here I am. I'm now in the Finger Lakes living in cider country. And yeah, loving every minute of it.
Wow. Well, just one thing you said, it resonates with people talking about turning people on to craft beer. It's the same to me as turning people on to hard cider. And I really feel like you have to start with the traditions. And you mentioned, certain kinds of Spanish cider and Normandy French ciders. And then there's the English style. And right. A lot of people are talking about, there's so many great traditions and wine and beer and cider that you don't need alcohol pop or whatever they call it, right. So that was neat. That's neat. And I just want to let people know, yes, go out and try the traditional regions first and traditional styles, and you will be blown away. So, you mentioned a couple of people like Melissa Madden and Steve Sellen. The Finger Lakes is really a unique place. And I think for a while I always associated, this resurgence of cider with the Finger Lakes. Tell us about your time up there and just some of the projects you might have worked on or just epiphanies you've had, because that's kind of like the Mecca, isn't it?
It's definitely the Mecca, for me personally. I think for a lot more people in the cider world. I think it was actually Eve Cider. It was Eve Cidery. It was Autumn Cider that really was one of the first dry ciders that I tried potentially at a cider week and Steve's and South Hill Cider that I was like, wait a minute. What am I drinking? Why do these two kind of like connect in my brain? Finger Lakes Cider House as well. I was like, there's almost like this, like, style. There's a style that's happening that I can almost like, wrap my head around from the Finger Lakes. It was very different back in the day than the styles that were, anywhere else. And it just, cider is meant to be enjoyed with food. And to me, it was just a beautiful and natural, like, to discover this style of like high acid and dry, a lot of champagne style, just such a beautiful pairing with cheese. I started coming up to the Finger Lakes, this area, during Cider Week and like a little bit after Cider Week, throughout the year, doing pop-up cheese events with the cider producers here. I used to do them with Melissa at the Finger Lakes Cider House, then with Steve at South Hill. And it was just such an amazing experience. And to see, for me, it was, I'm a city girl. So for me to get to know the farms and like the whole kind of like ecosystem here of the cider producers and the farms and the producers of, all this beautiful food and beverage, like just living together, it just made really great sense to me. And that kind of, it kind of brought together the whole experience of eating food and drink that was grown together, which is kind of like one of the things we always talk about in the cheese world, terroir and like, cheese from a certain place pairing with, it was a whole experience for me. And it's just really, really a beautiful, beautiful situation.
No, that's a great intro. I was going to say that what I loved about Cider Week, especially those first few years, was that it was really the only time of year that, like, at my beer bar, Jamie's Number 43, I would usually stock up on those rare indie ciders, especially from upstate. So we'd get, things from the capital region and particularly from Finger Lakes. I remember Steve Sellen came down with his pack basket, and I always kept a few bottles for a few years, and Aaron Burr, Andy Brennan from Aaron Burr. So it's pretty special. It's really, I can't, like, how would you describe the impact of Cider Week? Because I feel like if Cider Week had never started, I don't think that we'd even be talking about hard cider right now.
Right. And, Cider Week, was the brainchild of, Glenwood, and, back in the day, it was like, Jen Smith and like Sarah Grady. And like Ryan Burke, at Angry Orchard, contributed a lot to this. And really, I think it's just, that celebration of You know, it's a time where, yes, the cider producers can shine and, you know, offer cider, their cider, but it's also an opportunity for the restaurants and the bars and the retail shops to tell that story and to host the cider dinners and, you know, really shine a light on like New York ciders. And it's such a, you know, people are always looking for local product and like, here's local beverage that's happening that's really special and unique to this, you know, to the state. And recognized as something special and unique to the state. So for, you know, Cider Week to happen and to let like restaurants and bars and shops tell that story is really, really fantastic.
It's amazing. From 2011, now 12 years in, went from basically you had never tried hard cider. I'd probably hardly tried any to us like making it an important part of our lives. I just want to give one shout out. Scott Ramsey, he's the director of Cider Week New York and Cider Association in New York. Fortunately, it looks like he's had some technical difficulties. We're doing remote recording, so I'm in one spot, New England. And where are you, Rachel?
I'm in Trumansburg, right outside of Ithaca.
That's great. I'm, where do you think Scott is?
I have no idea where Scott is. He might be in the Hudson Valley. He lives in Beacon, so... Oops, too much information, but he might be in the
He's all
Valley.
Over the place.
He's let's all go, over let's the place.
Let's go through the list. So like with the Cider Week coming up, you know, first I'll give my pitch. I'm hosting again this Cider Feast event in Brooklyn. It's October 7th. And I feel like that's a different kind of event because it's in New York City. It's a larger festival where there's different producers. We even have Spanish and French ciders as well as some other ciders from around the country, as well as New York. In fact, last year, I was really proud of the New York lineup just because one thing with Cider Week is that so many of the cideries themselves are activating their cideries and people are going there. So they have their own events. So there's not as much in New York City as there used to be. So like just last year, for example, at Cider Feast, big shout out to Indian Ladder from up by the Capital Region. Wayside, which is in the Catskills, Brooklyn Cider House, which is Hudson Valley, and Original Sin Cider, Angry Orchard Walden, and then also Po' Boy, it's called Po' Boy Brewery. They make cider as well. So this is a short little snippet of, and Orchard Hill as well. I mean, that's just a short snippet of all the cideries and that it came to Cider Feast. But, you know, from different cider weeks over the year, like way out in Buffalo area, Oaks Winery with steampunk. Let's mention a couple other cideries that we don't always see in New York City that are being impacted by Cider Week.
I mean, yeah, there are definitely. It's, you know, to me, the New York Cider Association, they're working on the website. There's a really cool map, Jimmy, that, you know, they've been working in the last couple of years to like populate. So you can actually go on their map and you can actually see all the cideries across the state that, you know, are around. You can actually, you know, plan trips around it and discover new ones. And I think they're also launching an app that you can actually, you know, have in your phone and like, hey, I'm going to this part of the state, what cider makers are around me, which is really cool. But yeah, there are some new cideries that are, you know, participating in Cider Week this year. And I have to say too, you know, Scott's the one out there who literally are, you know, reaching out with the New York Cider Association, you know, throughout the year, you know, getting these cideries to, you know, partake in the New York Cider Association and in Cider Week. But like Bedrock Cidery in Marlboro, New York, like I haven't even tried them yet. I'm excited to go and try these ciders. You know, we have Western New York, we have Clarksburg Cider. They're doing a festival also through Cider Week, which will include a lot of the Western New York cider makers, which we're not too familiar with because a lot of these cideries are also regional. So we don't necessarily like get them down in the city. So it's actually an amazing time to like, you know, get on the map, go explore. It's a beautiful time of the year, you know, peep some leaves, you know, roll around in some pumpkin patches and visit a cidery, you know, in a place you haven't been before.
It seems that since Scott came in and you, the Cider Week has taken a page from the New York State wine trails.
Yes.
Where it's like you're trying to get people to actually go to the the cideries.
Right. So the Finger Lakes cideries actually just launched a Finger Lakes cider trail, which is kind of cool. They're kind of just doing it on their own. But I know that Scott is also launching, which I'm not sure if it's going to be ready for this cider week. But, you know, definitely sign up and, you know, stay tuned. But he's launching a statewide cider trail as well, which will include, of course, the Finger Lakes cider trail, but or at least, you know, the cideries. But yeah, those things are emerging, and it's really an amazing tool to be able to like discover, like, you know, our state's, you know, riches, as I'd like to say, you know, beautiful ciders made from, you know, in New York State.
Oh yeah. Well, Rachel, I know you're an accomplished person in the industry now. Just a few basic questions, like in the industry, you know, hard cider industry in New York. Are there any type of judging competitions or awards, or are there already existing ones like the Good Food Awards that people are looking to?
There are, you know, there is the, I think it's called the International, I'm honestly can't remember it right now, Jimmy. it happens every year up in Rochester. There's the ones that are outside of New York State, which is Glencap, which is, you know, a really respected cider competition. But what is it called? The International. I'm going to have to edit this out.
we don't edit.
I can't remember exactly what it's called. The International Cider Awards. And it is, it's embarrassing because I was a judge. Oh, yes, it is called the International Cider Awards, and it happens once a year it happens in Rochester. I would say the most prestigious one is the one that happens in Glencap. And, you know, there's CiderCon, which happens every year, which is kind of, you know, just a huge celebration of cider. It's not an official competition, but definitely want your cider there if you're a cider maker.
Yeah. And like other things, like, you know, I want to get into the new business you have, but also like just how do you describe ciders to people? Because for me, I'm like, I think of things like fine cider, harvest cider, dry cider. Most people want to try cider. I feel like one thing I love about doing events like Cider Feast is that when people are at a cider event, they want to try everything.
Right. People still have the idea that cider is supposed to be sweet for the most part, but there's a lot more people that have discovered like dry ciders. And I feel like the natural wine movement has kind of like, you know, helped that along because, you know, a lot of ciders are made in that vein of like natural production. And I feel like that's been a great exposure to like, you know, I want to say wine people to really give some more, second look at cider and try it and discover like all these really great styles that are just like wine styles, you know, like champagne method. And then you have like dry still ciders. It's not just sweet anymore. When people ask me, you know, oh, cider, I've never had a cider. I'm like, well, do you like wine? Do you drink wine? And then I, you know, always talk about the like dry, like sparkling styles. People sometimes like to compare it to like, I don't know, like kombucha or like beers, but I don't think that's really right. I think I like to compare it more to, you know, except there are some cider styles that are flavored and hopped. Well, that's really great. But I like to, you know, compare it more to like wine styles, and, you know, it's basically fermented apple juice, like just like grapes. Back in the day at Cheese Bar, people would order a Prosecco. You know, it's aperitivo hour. They're eating cheese. They'd order a Prosecco for me, and I'll be right back when I was working the floor. And I would come back with like a sparkling style dry cider and just pour it in their glass for a taste and walk away. I wouldn't say a word. And I'd come back and they'd be like, oh, that was really delicious. I'll have a glass of that. I'm like, great. It is a sparkling cider from upstate New York. They would be like, what? you know, so it's, that's my style. That's my way of always like really, getting people to understand cider more, in particular the ciders that are made in the style of wine.
You have to taste it, right?
You got to taste it. You got to taste through it. You know, there's some phenomenal ciders out there that, you know, may be considered like a little off dry and, you know, that really shine a light on like the beautiful like cider fruit. There are like styles that are like funky. You know, there's a Sidra style, you know, it's a Spanish acetic style cider. You know, there's a cider out there for everyone.
Yeah, just for me, like little snapshots of Cider Week. I remember the first couple of years just trying a range of ciders. And then it seemed like by about 2016, 2017, I'd have a full lineup of really good, dry, sparkling ciders. And then a good customer would come in and say, that's great, but where's the really you know, dry Sidra type cider?
Right.
So it made me realize that there's so many different styles of cider. And again, it goes back to traditions and really being open to the fact that it's like a gift. You know, this apple is a gift. There must be some really cool people in your world who are like pomologists and apple people. And I know you were working on something before, you know, you've had your hand in this a lot. And you've gone really deep. Is there like one thing you want to give a shout out to before we talk about your new business?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of incredible people doing incredible work in cider. Like, you know, it's like you said, like apples are magical. There's just so many. There, you know, they really captivate people and, you know, their attention. And there's, you know, there's a really cool project happening by Greg Peck from Cornell. With Maria Kennedy, they're doing like an amazing research project and diving deep, and they've been working on it for quite a couple of years now, researching foraged apples and wild apples and ciders. You know, interviewing statewide ciders that are made from foraged fruit and wild fruit, and doing like a lot of in-depth research that will, you know, eventually come out and be available, you know. For everyone, but in particular for, you know, growers and producers. And I think it's really, really amazing and fascinating work that they're doing. Yeah, definitely a shout out to that project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we're off to a great start. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back and talk more with Rachel on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City, Long Island, and Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. Support us, become a member at heritageradionetwork.org. We're talking with Rachel Freyer from Cider Week New York and other things. She's one of those inspired people who, through some of the early Cider Weeks in New York, really took to the world of hard cider and is doing some cool things with cheese as well. So, Rachel, tell us about your new job. Scott Ramsey started the conversation by saying, you got to ask Rachel about her new job.
I'm originally a cheesemonger by, well, I consider myself a cheesemonger by trade. And I started a social cheese club, which basically it's called the Cheese Club, cheeseclub.com. And it is a social club for people who love cheese. Right now, currently, I have about like 200 members, and you kind of sign up. It's free. And the idea is to host social cheese events. You know, I'm not, you know, there are a lot of cheese clubs out there that are, you know, producers offer that you get a cheese box to your house. This is a little bit different. Like you get newsletters with events that are happening around you. And, basically it's, you know, and it's always obviously, you know, most of the cheese events involve, you know, pop up at wineries, at cideries, at, you know, local restaurants, however, whatever, but, you know, different spaces. And the idea is to come together and like, you know, with cheese at the heart, always something like delicious to eat, but, you know, to just like kind of socialize around cheese and like discovering new cheese and new cheese traditions and new ways to eat cheese and drink cider or drink wine. And there's another aspect to the Cheese Club, which is a global cheese map. So I'm basically creating a online cheese map that you can discover cheese shops and cheese producers all over the world. So wherever you want to travel, you know, going to Madrid, let me check the map. Oh, there's a cheese shop happening and there's a calendar of events. So, is there a cheese, you know, event happening in Madrid while I'm traveling? Or is there something happening in Michigan? Oh, let me check the cheese map. So, yeah, it's kind of a really fun project. And, you know, at some point when we finish populating with, you know, not finish, but like get a lot, you know, a lot of cheese shops up there and cheese producers, I will add on the adjacent industries, which include, you know, hey, check out this cidery, you know, and like they are having a cheese and cider event. So it's really a way to connect travelers and people, you know, that love cheese and love, you know, eating cheese and enjoying cheese and celebrating cheese. It's kind of like this global cheese network.
You know, the cheese is really amazing because I could just literally, I was just thinking of a certain cheese that I love, this fresh feta from a local farmer I know who's doing a nice job. And I can basically just eat the whole container.
Yeah.
and just the simplest of things, little crackers or a little bit of fruit. And I don't need anything else. But then there's also like, there's a lot of classic dishes that are using cheese as well. So there's not really an end to this, is there? It's like there's so many different flavors and
exactly.
Cooking techniques.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's so many. You know, and when you start to travel and like you're you know off the beaten path and you discover all these regional cheeses that are made all over, you know, not just Europe but here as well. Like there are, you know, it's almost like, you know, at least once every few weeks someone says, "Hey, have you tried this cheese that's happening?" You know, like. Four lakes down in the Finger Lakes, you know, the small little cheese producer and like, no, I haven't yet. You know, there's just so many out there. So many different, you know, never ending. And like, think about Italy and all the regional cheeses there and, you know, France and all the cheeses there. It's like, you can spend a lifetime, I think I'm doing that. Spending a lifetime discovering cheese and celebrating cheese. But I feel kind of the same with, you know, with cider as well, you know. Maybe there's a number that's capped at the moment, but still, I feel like, you know, it's just like wine. Every year's vintage is different. You know, it depends on like that year's crop and like, it's, you know, it's, that's what keeps these like live foods, you know, alive and exciting for us, you know?
So let's do a little cheese club cider and cheese pairing. So pick a place.
Okay, let's do it.
What are we drinking?
Oh my God.
And what's the cheese?
That's a great question, Jimmy. I would have to say I'm going to eat. So Live and Run Dairy here, which is an Interlaken, little 6-minute drive for me. I'm going to eat their Finger Lakes Gold, which is aged goat cheese. It is an original recipe by them and I love it dearly. I love it so, so much. And the cider I'm going to drink it with, this is a great question. Oh my goodness. It's going to have to be, let's see. Oh my God. So Eve Cidery just put out a beautiful rosé. It actually has a little bit of grapes, like a skin contact grape in it, from Damiani. And I just had this the other day, and I really like to drink this rosé with you, Jimmy, and have a little bite of the Finger Lakes Gold together.
Yeah. Lightly run.
And that is a little taste of the Finger Lakes right there.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to promote Cheese Club and you can make it down to New York City for October 7th Cider Feast, we could preview it.
I think it's going to happen.
But you also, I'd love it. I also feel like you're going to be so busy up in the Finger Lakes too. So I'm going to cross my fingers for you to come down.
Yeah, there's a really robust, it's a little bit early, but the events are rolling into, Cider Week events calendar. There's South Hill Ciders doing their Cider Fest, which is showcasing all the local cider makers. And, there's something happening in the Hudson Valley as well, the Big Sip, which is all celebrating ciders alongside other craft beverages. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really robust Cider Week.
Oh, wow. When and where is the Big Sip? Do you know? That sounds really cool.
The Big Sip is on the calendar, Jimmy. I want to say the 7th and the 8th. It's 2 days. Yeah, October 7th and October 8th. Yeah, so I want to say people are going to have to go to Cider Feast in Brooklyn on the 7th and then go to the Big Sip on Sunday the 8th. I think that's what I'm going to be doing.
I like that. That sounds
right.
Really,
that's the way to
listen,
do it.
It's so great talking to you. I know. And then the last thing is looking up events and things. I have a couple of friends with like beer bars or tasting rooms in the city. They don't know how to sign up for Cider Week. So if they're going to do an event, let's just say I have a small bar tasting room. If I have do I have to have a New York State cider involved? Can I just pour taste of a cider and put it in as an event for Cider Week?
Ideally, it will be a New York State cider, Jimmy, honestly. But, we're here to celebrate cider. So you can go to the Cider Week website. And if you scroll down on the calendar of events on the bottom, submit your event. So there's a link you can submit. We want to celebrate, restaurants, bars, retail shops that, pour New York cider. And if they want to create an event or offer the ciders or highlight their menu with ciders, the ciders that they pour, please submit an event and let's celebrate.
That's great. It's just, there's so much to do and it's one of my favorite weeks of the year. Wow, Rachel, thank you so much for joining me here on Heritage Radio Network. And I have a feeling we'll be back this fall with Scott Ramsey and talk more about New York cider. Big thanks to Scott as well, who joined us earlier on. Thanks to our engineer, Armin Spengen. And I'm Jimmy Carboni. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.